Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Life after Jesus' ascension is different. Jesus told his disciples beforehand all that would happen to them so they would not fall away. He doesn't want them to be caught off guard by what is about to happen. He had come from the Father and was returning to the Father. He had given his body, shed his blood, paid for all sins, forgiveness is won, so go and preach that gospel to all creation. The apostles went because they were sent. That name apostle means one who is sent. And their testimony has gone out throughout the entire world, even to these distant shores in Mission Viejo, these 2,000 years later. For their testimony is the scriptures that record the words and the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished for us men and for our salvation. Still, it was not easy for them. Tradition holds that all but Saint John died a martyr's death. No servant is greater than his master. If they killed the very Son of God, knowing full well that he was the one sent from God, then they would, of course, treat his servants no differently. So as Christ prayed, "Not my will but yours be done," so also the apostles of Christ carried out the will of God, not their own will. It wasn't about getting their names on churches or being remembered throughout history. It was about him, their Lord and Savior, who had redeemed all nations by his blood. They preached not themselves, but they preached him who redeemed the church, loves the church, sanctifies the church by his Spirit. They are simply the servants. Their goal is that all might know Christ as their Lord. And so these servants, as they traveled about, were beheaded, crucified upside down, impaled, and flayed. No servant is greater than his master. If we measure in the ways of the world, this sounds horrific. But not when we understand the ways of God. Yes, these men were inspired. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They performed miracles. Thanks be to God for all of that. But all of that is still measuring in the ways of the world. For to measure in the ways of the world is to look at what a person does. To measure in the ways of God is to look at what God has made him. They were his apostles, anointed with his Holy Spirit, ambassadors of God, heralds of Christ, servants of the Most High. And it is for that reason they were put outside of synagogues. It is for that reason they were killed, because of who they represented, not because of what they did. Christ had ascended into heaven, and no longer can the devil and the world take out their fury on Christ, so it takes out its fury on the church, the servants of Christ. They're put out of synagogues for looking forward to an eternal city made by Christ. They were rejected by the Jews because they clung not to the blood of Abraham, but to the faith of Abraham. And they were killed by Gentiles for preaching forgiveness, life, peace, hope, and joy. Christ told them all of this beforehand so that they would not fall away. Life after his ascension is quite difficult. And their victory was not found in having friends in high places, building beautiful churches, changing society, or putting their name on a building. Their victory was found in Christ and his blood. But what of us? We are not apostles. You do not even occupy the office of the holy ministry. To our eyes, it doesn't look like we will suffer death or martyrdom anytime soon. But does that mean the devil and the world has given up? The devil brought death to the preachers of God because he was trying to destroy the faith of the church. And his goal remains the same, though his tactics may be slightly different in our day. The goal is destroy the faith of God's people. And whether that comes in physical outward persecution or from relentless trials and troubles that come your way, the devil will not stop. The world will not cease. For no servant is greater than his master. No one gets out of this world alive. Death is never pretty. It is always ugly. And it's a fitting end for a life wrecked by sin in the kingdom of the world. No one will build a church in honor of us. No one will fix our name on the front of a building. And only a small handful will even remember who we are, and that maybe for a generation or two, till our names are recycled in the dustbin of history. And so for the most part, society today pays little attention to us. We don't make the weekend news. We aren't changing society. We aren't the movers and shakers in this world. Largely, we are ignored and they let us be. But that does not mean we don't have fiery trials. They are real, though maybe not physical. And they are exhausting. For we are ashamed that we haven't loved our spouse as much as we have loved ourselves. We are embarrassed to admit that our kids at times do annoy us. We're anything but steadfast, patient, and wise in our words and actions. Petty comes to mind. Selfish also. We're quick to respond and to complain when others make our lives more difficult. For we truly believe we are the center of our own life, not to mention the universe. And so here we are, ready to stand before kings and emperors to give a bold confession of our faith. We imagine ourselves the hero of this story. But we can't even stand before coworkers, friends, or family to give a clear confession. Not to mention to simply carry out our duty toward them. Daily we fail, the difficulties get to us. We've had a rough time staying at home with the family. We love them, but they are annoying. We like work, but it's so easy to be lazy and to hit the bare minimum. Still, we put on a brave face and we enter into this world as if nothing is wrong. We look around and we see other people who seem to have their whole lives together while we're nothing but a mess. We comfort ourselves by saying, at least we're not being killed for our faith. But anytime we compare ourselves to others, we begin to measure in the ways of this world, and that always dissatisfies. We all struggle in some way. It comes and goes throughout the weeks. We face little physical persecution, but we should also not underestimate the emotional and the mental struggles that the devil constantly hits us with. Because these things are often unseen by others, we can feel as if we are all alone in this. So when we measure in the ways of the world, we end up disgruntled, not simply toward others, but also toward God, who has dealt us this hand. Christ told us what life on earth was like after his ascension so that we also would not fall away. He never said the New Testament church would be an easy life to live. So let us measure in the ways of God and look at what he has made us. No, we're not apostles. But he has filled us with his Holy Spirit in those waters of baptism. He has declared us to be his temple. So what if tongues of fire did not dance on our heads like they did at Pentecost? The Spirit is a deposit given to us, guaranteeing what is yet to come. It is God who made them apostles. It is God who made you a Christian. He chose you. He anointed you. He forgave you. He poured out his love on you and sanctified you. So you too are an ambassador of Christ, a servant of the Most High. Regardless of what society says about you, therefore, it is Christ who determines your steps and what you are to believe and how you are to live. So you don't condone everyone's lifestyle. You call sin, sin, whether it's in your spouse, your children, that one's easy, or even in family and friends. You are a witness to this world, not only with words, but also in actions, so that your light may shine before men, that all might know that you have a loving Savior who has called you out of darkness and into light. You are a witness, not of yourself, and how you can hold everything together in your life. You are a witness to Christ and to his forgiving love, to something greater than yourself, something greater than your country, than your life, or your political view. You are waiting for him, your Lord and Savior, to return on the clouds of heaven and to bring you, along with all the saints, to your home in heaven. That is a message worth repeating. That is a message worth sharing to those who know him and to also those who do not. An easy life is not the goal, but striving to live in what God has made you. So you strive to love your children, though it's exhausting, to care for your spouse, though sometimes you don't want to, and to love your neighbor, even though they make it really easy to look down on. These trials are no less real than standing before kings. About one, we write books and name churches. About another, we simply push aside. We have much to learn about the New Testament church. We are still being conformed to the image of Christ. But Christ knows what you are going through. He told you beforehand that it would not be easy, so that you would not fall away. He doesn't want you to think that stress and exhaustion and persecution, however it may come, is something strange. The apostles were not greater than Christ, and neither are we greater than Christ. Though we do not see him, he is with us. And though we may not always feel his presence, he has promised to never leave us. He knows how much your shoulders can carry. And yet, at the same time, he daily and weekly, even hourly, invites you to cast all of your burdens on him in prayer as he takes his yoke of forgiveness and drapes it over your shoulders. So what if you haven't figured out life perfectly? So what if it is hard? He still forgives. And he remembers his cross, he remembers his blood, he remembers his love, and it will never fail. He measures not by what you have done, but he measures by what he has made you. And so it is he who keeps you from sinking into the depths of despair. It is he who lifts you out of the torrential waters and into the safety of the church. It is he who allows you to persevere through whatever trials may come your way, physical, mental, or emotional. It is he who continues to love. Though you feel exhausted, he has refreshed you. And though you are still tired, he has sustained you. And though you still die, he has given you life. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.